Good to see everybody here this morning. I know we've got some additional visitors, and we're excited that you're here. We would invite you, if you will, to fill out a visitor's card. If you do that, I will send you a really nice letter, a note, or I might even call you, since I have some of your numbers, and tell you that I'm glad that you're here. So we're really happy for you to be here. Go ahead and turn to John 8, John chapter 8. That is where we are going to be in just a little bit. All right, I want to get your minds thinking, so I'm going to ask you some questions this morning, all right? How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but the light bulb really needs to change. You know, it has to want to change. That's the way that works, all right? How many jugglers does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but you need three light bulbs. You know, that's how that works, all right? How many evolutionists does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but it'll take a million years before it gets changed. We know that, right? And how many atheists does it take to change a light bulb? None. They never see the light anyway, right? That's where that works. No, we are not talking about we are not talking about light bulbs this morning, but we are talking about Jesus as the light of the world, all right? And it's interesting that through all of the I am statements, every time Jesus says, I am, there seems to be this collision course, this struggle with the leaders of the day. You'll notice it throughout the I am statements that, and a lot of other times, that they just pound heads all the time. I think the reason for that is that the religious leaders of the day believed that they were the light of the world, that they were the light to Israel. They thought they were the shepherds of Israel. They thought that they were the gate by which all of these others would have to come. And they kind of forgot their place. They really did forget their place, that God had put them in charge of his flock, of his physical flock, but only by using his guiding light and by using his guiding words. And so they just had lost track of that. But it seemed to me like there's always this collision course. It reminds me of this captain of a ship. And it's the middle of the night, and he is traveling along. And all of a sudden, he sees this light right in front of us. And he realizes, oh, man, we're going to collide. So he gets on the radio, and he says, you need to change your course 10 degrees to the east. Well, the reply, comes back. And it's like, no, you need to change your course 20 degrees to the west. Well, he's like, hey, whoa, gets a little uptight. He's like, I'm a captain in the United States Navy. You change your course. The reply comes back, well, I'm just a seaman first class, but you need to change your course. And he says, no, I'm a battleship in the United States Navy. You change your course. And he says, well, I'm a lighthouse. You make the call. Right? So, I mean, he thinks that he's got to flex. He thinks that he's got to be in charge. And yet what he doesn't realize is that he is impending danger is on his way. All right. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were kind of that way. They were, when Jesus showed up and said, hey, this is what I want to tell you about. These are the things I want to talk about. They were like, hey, you need to change your course. You need to go this direction. You need to do this. And Jesus is turning around saying, well, I'm kind of God. I'm thinking you ought to pay attention to me more than I need to be paying attention to you. And I've learned that in my 53 plus years in life, whenever I am on a collision course with Christ, maybe a collision course with his word, maybe I think I know a little bit more about something than I feel like I should. It's usually me changing course. And I hope that you'll understand that and recognize that as well. John chapter 8, verse 12. Are we ready for that? Maybe. There we go. One verse, all right, is all we're going to talk about today. We will read some others. But I want to give you some homework. And you can read that verse and you can look at that verse while I'm saying this. But chapter 7 leads into chapter 8. I love this section of John. It's just an amazing little section. The words of Christ, the things that are coming out. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, and I'll remind you again. But here in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All right? Really cool place in Scripture, but this is where a little extra information is going to really help us understand the true meaning, I believe, about what he's really saying. Jesus is in Jerusalem, all right? He's at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that's not a feast that we are very well aware of. We're not Jews. We didn't celebrate it every single year. There were seven feasts that the Jews had. Three were required: Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Huge feasts, important feasts to every Jew. And they would come together and they would remember those 40 years that they walked in the wilderness. They would build these temporary little shelters. I think my boys and I would have loved that. Anybody that likes to camp, because they would, Shane, you'd get into this. Like, I'm going to build my shelter. It's going to be great. You know, get me a welder so I can build the best shelter. You know, it's going to be a great shelter. No, right? But it is. And it would be. And it was kind of like a really cool thing for the men, because they would build these shelters. They would use the leaves and the sticks and the branches. And they'd live in them for 7 days as a reminder of the time they spent in the wilderness. And it was just a really cool thing. But there were two other things that made these very special. On the eighth day, it was in the month of Tishri, the 15th through the 21st. So 7 days long. You know, kind of, we have the month of October. Theirs was Tishri. And they would celebrate it, like say, every year. And then on the eighth day, there was a water ceremony. And it would remind them of the water that God provided them in the wilderness. And so they did this real elaborate water ceremony. If you go back and read chapter 7, you're going to see where Jesus talks about flows of living, or how there's a flow of living water will come out of you. That I am this flow of living water. And its semblance goes back to these ideas of what this living water was. But this is the one I want to talk about this morning, the really cool one, all right? Because they did this light ceremony on the opening night of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I know, we're like, okay, we don't get this. Kind of get your mind going back, you know, 2,000 years ago to a time when they would set up this elaborate light ceremony. They would put four huge menorahs or candelabras in the court of the women, in the temple courts, the outer temple courts. They were 75 feet tall. It was amazing for them to erect these huge candelabras. Each one of the candelabras had four bowls. Okay, so there were 16 of these bowls. They would put about 10 gallons of oil in each of the bowls, and they would use for wicks. They would take the priest's garments, their old garments that they no longer could wear any longer, and instead of taking them to a clothing closet, right, they would use them at the Feast of Tabernacles. They would put those priestly garments in these bowls, then they'd pour the oil on them, and they would be the wicks, okay, that would light these. And then they would light them, and they would absolutely light up all of Jerusalem. They didn't have street lights back then, so this was huge. And experts tell us, archaeologists tell us, that the streets of Jerusalem and a lot of the walls in Jerusalem were made out of limestone. So you had a reflective atmosphere as well. So when they lit these huge candelabras in the court of the women, they would light up all of Jerusalem. It would be amazing, all right? The 16 bowls, the wicks, all of this stuff was really cool. You go back to the point that the ancients would report that choirs of Levites, okay, the priestly tribe, the Levites, would sing during the lighting while men of piety and good works danced in the streets. Party, joy, excitement. They would carry torches and they would sing hymns. It was a huge ceremony. What did it represent? All right, we don't get it, but they do. It would represent, the candelabras and the light would represent the Shekinah glory of God. Remember when they walked in the wilderness, they had a cloud by day and a fiery pillar by night. And that cloud was huge and important to the Jews. And so this Shekinah, and I used to think, until I learned all these websites, it was Shekinah. And I love that. It sounds like Shekinah. It just has a better kind of shekinah. It's all like, you know, it's like in The Lion King, Mufasa. Ooh. You know, it's like shekinah. And then I found it's Shekinah, and I don't know, it just doesn't have the same Shekinah. Doesn't quite get there. But anyway, the Shekinah glory. Sorry, side note. But they would in the very presence of God, or I'm sorry, this represented the very presence of God for them, and they would recognize that as Jews. So the scene is Jesus, and I don't know. We'll pretend like this is one of those. I don't know if Jesus is leaning up against it. I don't know if he's right next to it or how close he might have been, but he's in the court of the women when he gives this speech. All right? And so he's at the Feast of Tabernacles when he gives this speech. And we know for a fact that he's at the court of the women because that's where they would also give their money. When Jesus talks about the widow's mites, it's at the court of the women. And that's it tells us that in verse 20. So Jesus is at the court of the women. Let's set it up. They have these huge candelabras lit up to remind them of the Shekinah glory of God. The Feast of Tabernacles is going on. In chapter 7, he alludes to the feast. And then here in chapter 8, I believe, he is simply in the presence and in the light of these huge menorahs when he says, I am the light of the world. And I want to say that he's pointing and he says, I am this light. And we're going to discuss it a little bit more. So go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. Okay. He's saying, BTW, by the way, all right, for those texters out there, by the way, I'm not just the light of Jerusalem. I'm the light of the world. And I want to elaborate on that throughout his different times in the things that are said. John chapter 1. All right. We've already talked about these verses. We're in a series. Those of you that are visiting, we talked about Jesus as the I Am and what that meant. We talked last week about him being the bread of life. And this week we're talking about him as the light of the world. But we mentioned these verses last week. I want to read verses 1 through 9 and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light, or the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, or that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And then down to verse 14. And then the Word, the light, became flesh, made his dwelling among us. And this is the key part. We have seen his glory. All right, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I did it with the kids this morning. First thing God made was light. All right, he made light. There was no sun, there was no moon, there was no stars. It didn't happen until later. He was the light. Nothing was made without Christ being there. Christ was the light. He is the light of the world. He's trying to help them understand that he is himself God. And he's also trying to help them understand the Shekinah glory. Because this word for we have seen his Shekinah, we have seen his glory, glory as of the only one, the only Son who comes from the Father. And he's full of grace and truth. Not only is he full of grace and truth, he's full of light. He's full of the Word. He's the living Word. He's the living bread. He's the living stone. We talked about that last week. Okay, Psalm 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The Word, here we see the Word and glory and light, they're just interchangeable throughout Scripture. And Jesus is trying to help them as Jews to understand God has come down from heaven to be with you, and I'm Him. And I'm trying to help you understand that if you'll pay attention to my words, because they're God's words, you'll have eternal life. If you chew on these words, if you swallow these words, life will follow. The light will follow, okay? And so they needed to understand all this. Isaiah used in his great prophecy of the Messiah, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. We just read, John the Baptist was not the light, but he came to witness about the light. Zechariah said when he prophesied about the coming Christ in Luke 1, 78 and 79, it says, "The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death." Do you remember when Jesus is in the arms of Mary? He's in the arms of Simeon in the temple as a young child. And Simeon has him and he's dedicating him at the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 32, he speaks of Jesus as a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Light, glory, light, glory throughout Scripture. Okay, important stuff. And then Paul gets it, and I think I put it, we got this in the slide, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Right? "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And I think Paul is even alluding to the time when Moses says, "I want to see your face." And he says, "Oh, Moses, you can't see my face, but I'll walk by." And he got to see the back of God and his face shone and he had to put the veil on. And I think he's alluding maybe to that. But he's saying here he came to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory that's displayed in the face of Christ. Again, Christ, glory, light, life, word, Jesus. In a nutshell, that's just how it works. All right. Everything good happens. Well, not everything. Mostly everything good happens in the light. Does it not? It's darkness that we get confused about. It's in the darkness. We how many of you guys did the corn maze? You know, we go through the darkness. We don't like the darkness. The darkness is not a good thing. There's things in the darkness, right? It always worries us. But bad things happen when you sit in the darkness. I love the story. A young soldier, I'm going to stick with soldiers. We had Navy a while ago. We'll go Army. Young Army soldier goes into the on a visit into a bigger town every single month with his commanding officer. His commanding officer's a jerk. He's rude. He's obnoxious. He treats the young soldier in a terrible fashion, and he just can't stand being with the guy. But every month, they got to make this trip. Well, this particular trip's a little bit better. They sit down. And as they sit down in their little seats, they're facing this direction. There's two seats in front of them. And this beautiful young girl and grandma come in and sit down. And the young soldier's like, sweet, you know, it's going to be a good trip. And there's an immediate kind of connection. And so the grandmother's sitting there and they make small talk and they're visiting and all this. And the soldier is aware of this. And they are. They make the trip every month. There's a long tunnel. This gets totally dark. So sure enough, they enter the tunnel and you hear this sound. Kiss and a slap. All right? And you're like, oh, and but it's in the dark. So the grandmother's sitting there and the grandmother's going, well, I can't believe the audacity of that young man to kiss my granddaughter right here in this train. But I sure am glad she gave him a good slap across the face. The commanding officer is saying, well, I don't blame the young guy for giving her a kiss, but man, I wish she hadn't missed him and hit me. Right? The young girl is sitting there and going, well, I didn't mind the kiss, but I can't believe my grandma slapped him so hard. That's awful. They come out of the tunnel, and the young soldier's sitting there thinking, wow, I got me a kiss, and I got to slap my commanding officer all at the same time. Right? Good things happen in the dark. Sometimes. Right? But we don't know. See, we don't know what happens in the dark. There are times when we're just unaware. So Jesus comes and says, hey, I'm the light. I'm gonna help you through this world. I'm gonna help you understand things because the darkness is bad and the light is good. All right? So he came to make it clear. I want you to go back and read chapter 7. It just sets it all up. We could read it today and it's just there's a lot of verses there. So I implore you, go back and read chapter 7 leading up chapter 8. It teaches you a lot more about this. Jesus was not saying that he was simply a light. Let's make this clear. Okay, he wasn't saying, I'm a light. He wasn't saying that he was another light. Jesus is not saying that he has the light or he's holding the light or he is a way to the light. He says, I am the light. He is going to go on to say in other I am statements, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. The prophet Oprah, you know, she got really bent out of shape on that. I don't know if you saw that. When somebody, you're going to tell me he's the only way? I won't believe that. And she chews out this girl in the crowd. I used to have it. I may try and figure out a way to show that. It's an interesting little thought when Oprah gets all bent out of shape. But Jesus is not saying, you know, I'm just another light, that there's plenty of other lights out there. You can just go to all the lights. Just pick a light, any light. It'll work. No, he's saying, I am the light of the world. Okay, and how important that is to us, I can't even begin to tell you. Okay, so Jesus is a master with illustrations. We're going through the parables on Wednesday nights. We see how he utilizes the things around him. And I'm convinced that Jesus has a particular light in mind in this particular discussion, because I believe that he's leaning up against or right next to these huge menorahs when he's making these statements. And so he's saying to them, I am the Shekinah glory of God that these candelabras represent. I believe that's what he's saying. He says, you know, essentially, I was the one who was with you then. I was the one who protected you from Pharaoh. I was the one who protected you from your enemies. I was the one who kept you warm at night. I was the one who had the very presence with you at all times. I'm the one who covered the tabernacle and embraced and enclosed that tabernacle. I am the Shekinah glory of God. All right? I think that's what he's saying. And why do I think that? Well, because it symbolized God's presence. Let's be reminded, Exodus 13:21 says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and to go by night. So it symbolized God's presence. This is what's amazing to me. Think about this for a minute. You ever been lonely? You know, you ever been unsure? You ever think to yourself, you know, hey, I don't know where I need to be right now. I'm disgruntled. Maybe I'm lost. I'm sad. I'm lonely. Whatever. They went through some of those same times where they griped and they complained. And I want to go, how in the world do you gripe and complain when all you have to do is look up and there is the Shekinah glory? God is saying, I am right here with you. Well, you brought us out here into the wilderness to die. You brought us out here into the wilderness to not have food. You brought us out here in the wilderness to not have water. And I want to just go, as Moses go, will you just look up? Holy moly, how can you miss this? Right? Holy moly, right? Holy Moses. I mean, it's right. It's always with you. But I think that Jesus is trying to help us understand that very thing. Okay? That the Shekinah, the presence of God is with us too. I love the story. Ed, I thought of you when I read this. I really did. And so a granddad is taking his son out into the woods. And they're going on a walk, going a little hike. And the granddad looks around, looks at his little son or grandson. And he says, grandson, do you know where we are? And the grandson says, no, grandpa, I don't know where we're at. And he says, do you know how to get back to where we were going or where we left? And he says, no, grandpa, I don't know. I don't know where that's at either. He goes, do you know where we're going? No, grandpa, I don't know where we're going. So the grandfather looks at the grandson and says, well, I think you're lost. And the grandson says, no, grandpa, I'm not lost. I'm with you. Right? Because when you're in the presence of somebody that you care about, that you love, that you have respect for, that is your guiding light. They keep you in the now. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going. I know. Well, I don't know that, but I'm with you, right? So when we have that, when they have that person in our life that we know we can put trust in, I believe that what Jesus is saying to them is, hey, you know what? You're with me. So whenever we struggle, whenever we are lonely, maybe whenever we're having those down times, we too need to remind ourselves that Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. In fact, I'm going to leave a counselor for you. I'm going to leave a guidance counselor for you. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you, so that the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, is always with us. It was the greatest gift he gave, or one of the greatest gifts that he gave in light of the cross, grace, and mercy. But we have God with us all the time in the form of the Spirit. And so he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will promise you I am the Shekinah glory of God, that I will always be here for you. All right. And number two, it symbolized God's presence, but it also symbolized God's guidance. You go back and you read the John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So he's guiding us. He's keeping us in the right way. Numbers 9, 17 through 23 and Exodus 40 both said that when the cloud moved, they moved. You remember that? When the cloud started making its move, the people packed up and they followed the cloud. Wherever the cloud went, whether it was during the day or during the night, when it stopped, they stopped. If it was a week, it was a week. If it was a month, it was a month. If it was one day, it was one day. But whenever the cloud moved, they moved as well. When the cloud stood still, they remained where they were. Jesus is our God. We need to pay attention to where he's leading us. And to our young people, younger people, to all of you, pay attention to that. All right. When you make important decisions, when you decide that you're going to go a certain direction in life, you need to pay attention to the Shekinah glory of God. You need to pay attention to where he's leading you. Okay. When you pick those colleges, when you choose those careers, wherever you go, you need to realize that God is trying to help guide you and put you in the right place at the right time. Because it's in the dark, right, that leads to some regrettable consequences, some regrettable decisions. Back in the day when kerosene lanterns were very popular, there was this old farmer, and he was kind of tight-fisted. He was very frugal. He didn't like the fact that his hired hand was going to see his girl. You know, he's going to see his girl at night. He'd take his kerosene lantern and go off. And so one day he just gets kind of mad at the hired hand. He says, man, why do you take that kerosene lantern every single time you go to see that girl? He says, when I was courting my wife, he goes, I never took a kerosene lantern. We just sat in the dark. We talked in the dark. We walked in the dark. And the young guy goes, yeah, look what you got. Right? I wouldn't recommend saying that to your boss. But, right, what happens in the dark is never a good thing. Sometimes we have to pay attention to the light. All right? So let's pray for God's guidance. All of our plans, all of the things that we look forward to, the things that we think about, you know, the elders of this congregation are planning things and looking into the future as best they can, walking in the light of God's guidance. You know, what does God want us to do? What does God desire for this congregation? That's how we live our life. All right. I love how Job said it. Job chapter 29, verse 3, when he lighted the way before me, I walked safely through the darkness because I could see. Right. I mean, he's like the light of the world, and he guides our steps. You know, this is a place where we do life together. We could probably put in there where we do light together, but we do life together here. So as we progress in our life, we have hopefully friendships that are based on light. We have friendships that are based on life, that the life of the Word of God, they're living among us, so that we make good decisions or we make bad decisions, that we still have that support from one another. Hey, you know what? That was probably not the best choice ever, but I still love you. How do we work this out? Let's keep living life together. Let's walk together through this life in guiding light, right? That's kind of the hope of this congregation. We want to be experiencing the light with Jesus, but also with one another. So Jesus says, you're the light of the world. And then he figuratively says, here, I'm going to pass the torch. Okay, now you're the light. And he says that very plainly to us. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. A light is not put under a bushel and put on a, you know, and put underneath this bushel so nobody can see it. It's put on a lampstand so it can be seen. So you're the light. Let your light so shine before men. And here's the cool part. Let your light so shine before men, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, that men may see your good works and give glory. Glory to God the Father. Okay? Because they know it's not our glory. We're not the Shekinah glory. Okay? But the light is. That's the presence of God. That's the pathway that needs to be followed. And so now we're the light. And so when people see us, they go, man, we're going to give glory to your Father because there's no way you could be like that without God, right? I mean, I guarantee the guys that I grew up with go, you're a preacher? You know, and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, wow, really? That's interesting, you know? I'm like, hey, shows you how great God is. Shows you how amazing God can transform. That we can once be in a kingdom of darkness, but now we're transferred into a kingdom of light. And I love that. I love this quote, and I'll leave the lesson with you with this. I would not give much for your religion unless it can be seen. Lamps do not talk, but they do shine. And I think that's pretty powerful. So let's reflect the light of the world this week. I don't know. There may be somebody here this morning who would like to identify with this church.